Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we're continuing to look at the gospel glossary, and we've looked at some big words already, some words that carry a lot of significance. And even though these might not be commonly used words in our everyday language, they are common words in the Christian vocabulary, and they should not only be used among believers, but they should be clearly understood. Hopefully today at the end of our lesson, we're going to understand better this word. And the word today is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Let's stand together as we read from God's word. We're going to begin reading with verse 6 and continue through verse 11 from Romans chapter 5. Now there is so much in this chapter, but this will be our focus. I'm going to do my best not to move outside of this text, but there is so much here. In fact, I can't stop myself. There's just so much here. Let's start with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified. Hey, that's a word that we've already used, isn't it? Justified. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you understand that being justified makes us at peace with God? Would you say amen?
Amen.
That means that the condemnation we were under and the wrath that we deserved had been eliminated because God had conferred on us His righteousness so that we who were sin became the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, thanks to the work of God Himself. Now, that being said, let's move on. Verse 2, through Him, that is the Lord Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There's so much there, but the word that it's all built around is justified. And I want you to notice in verse 3 where the Apostle Paul says, more than this. Or it could be translated, not only this. This word only is used 66 times in the New Testament. Of those 66 times, the Apostle Paul uses it 36 times. And of those 36 times that Paul uses the word only, he uses it most frequently with the word, the negative, not only. In other words, he can't help but building upon something that he's already said. And in this case, he talks about our rejoicing. We rejoice in our justification. But not only do we rejoice in our justification, we also rejoice in our sufferings. But look in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood. Okay, He's returned to what He talked about earlier. But He says that's not all. Not only, He says it by saying much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that. See how He's building one thing on top of another? We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May God bless the reading of His word, and you may be seated. The Greek word for reconcile is katalasso, and it means basically to restore to new relationship that has been damaged or broken. To restore to new. Now, I want you to think about something with me for a moment. All of you have been offended by somebody else. I would ask for an amen, but no need. We've all been offended by someone. Someone has hurt us. Someone has done something to us, either intentionally or unintentionally. In any case, the relationship that we had was damaged. Now, there's a step in the process of restoring that relationship with the person who has been offended has to decide, I am not going to hold this offense against them anymore. That has to happen. Relationship cannot be restored. There cannot be something made right if the person who has been offended holds on to the feeling of that offense and the sense that there needs to be somehow justice measured out for that offense. Now, folks, God began the process of restoring our relationship with Him when He justified us. What that means is the condemnation and the judgment that we deserved, God decided, God chose to cancel that. And in canceling that, He did two things. He honored His own righteousness. How did He do that? He honored His own righteousness by keeping the price or the wages of sin. He didn't discount our sin. He didn't substitute a lower price for our sin. You know, the law said that the price, the wages of sin, is death. God told Adam and Eve about that fruit in the middle of the tree, in the garden, in the tree that was in the middle of the garden. He said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely what? Die. That was the price of sin. And Adam and Eve violated that law. And on that moment, at that moment, there was a death that passed upon them. It was a complete death. Their relationship with God was broken. That is a spiritual death. But more than that, or in addition to that, death passed upon them. Physical death. And that death did not simply infect them, but it infected the entire creation. Go back and read Romans chapter 3. It gives a description of life the moment they sinned against God. Prior to this moment, there was a fellowship between God's creation and God. That fellowship was marked by God's caring for them, God interacting with them, God seeing to their needs, God meeting the need of Adam when he was lonely, and creating for him a helpmate or a helpmeet. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, that relationship was violated. The righteousness of God was offended, and more, the law of God was offended. What God had decreed and declared, they disobeyed. And by doing so, they ruptured their relationship with God. And that relationship, that broken relationship, passed on to everyone who is blessed or infected by Adam's seed. We all in Adam have sinned against God, and death has passed upon all of us. So what this does is it shows us that at the very outset, there was a broken relationship. Now, God could have left it at that. But He didn't. He didn't leave it at that. He went about the process of justifying, that is, restoring to a sense, or in a sense, our relationship with Him by meeting His righteousness on the grounds of that righteousness. What was required of sin, God met. What was required of sin was death. And God met that. How did He meet that? He met that through the price of the death of His sinless Son. He who knew no sin became sin for us, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. So, do you understand what happened? He justified us. Now, I know I'm backtracking a little bit, but I want you to see this because it is going to bring us to the proof of God's love. That's where we are. Point number one, the proof of God's love. But this is going to carry us to that point. You see, had God stopped with justification, there would not be a complete restoration of our relationship with Him. There simply would have been the cessation of hostility. Now, go back with me to that, to the personal. You've all been offended. Everybody has been hurt by somebody else. And you have to face the choice. Am I going to hold this grudge? Am I going to expect this person to pay the penalty for their violation of me? Or am I going to justify them? That is, am I going to cancel the debt? Now, when we do that, when we cancel the debt, we move toward the process of restoring the relationship. But that isn't it. That does not restore the relationship. You see, people I don't even know haven't offended me. Therefore, I have no ill will against those people. Are you with me? So, essentially, I have a neutral position to people I don't even know. That's where we are when we get to the point with someone that we justify. That is, we make a forgiveness available and we allow what they've done to be covered by our forgiveness. But that doesn't fully restore the relationship, does it? That person to us is no different than a stranger would be to us. And before that person offended us, we were friends, or we were family members, or we were parents and children, or we were sisters and brothers, or we were husbands and wives. Before the forgiveness came along, we weren't strangers. We were in a relationship. In order for that relationship to be restored, there is another step. And this step is the proof of our love. And it is, in this case, the proof of God's love. Look at verse 8 in chapter 5. He says, but God shows His love for us. Now, the idea of showing us God's love is that in this it's demonstrated. We were hopelessly lost in sin. You understand that, folks? We weren't even looking for a way out of it. We were hopelessly lost in our sin. You say, oh, Brother Robert, I was trying to get out of my sin. Were you? I've got news for you. You may have thought you were, but you were so contaminated by sin that any effort you made to get out from under the guilt or the bondage or the corruption of sin was only casting you farther into that. You say, how do you say that? Because the Scripture tells us all our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's like getting in the shower with an oily, dirty rag trying to wash the oil off of yourself. It's not going to happen. It's just going to make matters worse. And so we are when we try to clean up our act, to solve our own problems, we just make a bigger mess out of the situation. But this word show, it means to provide evidence. of a personal characteristic or a claim through action. God demonstrated His love for us. A lot of people think about love and they get the eebie-jeebie goosebumps. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's just associated with the feeling. Unfortunate, because love is not a feeling. Love is either a noun or a verb, but it's not a feeling. In this sense, love is an action. God showed us His love for us. Understand this. Before we sinned, God loved us. When we sinned, God loved us. After we sinned, God loved us. Today, God still loves us. How do I know that? Because it's His attribute. It's His characteristic. John says in his first epistle, God is love. Now, that doesn't mean that every expression of love in itself is God. That's not reversed. It means that true love is an attribute of God. It is who God is. He could do no other than love His creation. And love us, He did. Love us, He does. How? How did He show it? In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, God could have held the penalty of sin over us and let us die in our sin. That would not have expiated. It would have not propitiated us. It simply would have been the result of our sin. God could have let us stay the way we were. But God chose to do something about it. What He did about it cannot be compared to anything in human history. He, in eternity past, loved us so much that before the foundation of the world, He crucified His only Son, in order that we who had sinned against Him and had formerly been His sons could be forgiven and become His sons again. There is no love comparable to that on the face of this earth. That's why Paul writes about this justification that we have with God. You might die for a good and righteous man, but you're not likely to die for a horrible, sinful, wretched man. And yet that is exactly what God did when Christ died for you. Look at verse 9. He shows us then what results from this act, this reconciliation. This really is the furthering of justification. It is the real restoration of the relationship beyond the cessation of hostility and enmity. It's the creation, or maybe the recreation, of the friendship that existed before. When he says, since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. See, the provision that comes out of this work of God, it brings about this justification. It matches the righteousness of God. It satisfies His holiness. It justifies us, which means in the eyes of God, we have been paid for. Our debt is canceled. We're right with God. We're not at a negative balance according to His righteousness. We are at a balance. No better, no worse. that is not the relationship God desires with His creation, with you and me. The relationship God desires with you and me is beyond that of a rock or a cow or a wall or this rest of creation. Because God did something when He made us that made us unique. He made us in His image. And is in His image, He wants to relate to us. An image that had been destroyed and corrupted by our sin. That image of God had been violated. And now, we were more than alienated from God. We were on His enemies list. But God did something about it, and He justified us. But He wanted more. Much more. Can you say that with me? God wants much more for me. And I'm not talking about money in the bank. Oh, no. I'm not talking about houses and lands. Oh, no. I'm not talking about popularity. I'm not talking about prominence. I'm not talking about accomplishments. I'm talking about a relationship with the King of the universe. That's much more. God wants much more for you and me. He wants a restored relationship that results in us becoming the sons of God again, the children of God, just like we were in creation. In verse 9, look what he says. He says in the latter part of verse 9, he says, "Much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if we were enemies," were we? Were we? Were we enemies with God? Or do you not think it was that bad? Oh no, friend, you were an enemy of God. You weren't just out there seeking meaning for life and lacking it. You weren't looking for a purpose for your life and missing it. Oh no. You were in direct opposition and hostility to God, and the reason is because you and I were sinners. That's not a neutral thing. And I think we've downplayed the reality of our condition, folks, because we've downplayed what sin is. Sin is not a mere misstep. That's how many people translate the word transgress. That's how some people identify the word trespass, as if it were a mere misstep in our effort to be good, in our effort to do good. We just made a misstep. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is not a mistake. Sin is a direct contradiction of the law of God. It is saying to God, not your will, but my will be done. And when we sin against God, we are shaking our fist in the face of God, and we are no different in our stance toward God than Satan was when he was cast out of heaven to begin with. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be as God. And that was the temptation he brought to Eve that day in the garden. He knows, and you eat thereof, you will know the difference between good and evil, and in so doing, you will be like God. And we thought to ourselves, you know, I know as much as God knows. I'll do this anyway. I'll do this my way. I've got news for you, friend. God doesn't take a neutral position when we violate His will. We become His enemies. And that is where we were. And beyond that justification that occurred and the cessation of hostility and the end of enmity comes then this idea of reconciliation that is portrayed in verse 9 and verse 10. I rejoice that I am justified. I'm grateful for that. But more than that, I'm thankful that God did not just leave me justified. He brought me forward by reconciling me to Him. Look in verse 9 again. He said, or verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. I want you to get this. Before you ever came onto this scene, before you were born, Christ had died for you. Historically, we could measure that by a couple of thousand or a couple of millennia. But it didn't just take place when Christ died. You understand that before time began, I can't even conceive of a way to explain this, but before day and night were divided, before the creation was set in space, before any of this, before, how do you say before anything? Because that implies time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had already deemed your soul worth dying for. And in the fullness of time, when time began and it became time, Christ died for you and for me. It wasn't that act of dying that initiated the love of God. The love of God was initiated in eternity because God is love. So when God created, already knowing that we would sin against Him, already knowing that His Son would die for us, through none of that did God stop loving, because that's God's character. And God doesn't stop loving at our justification. He loves us on to reconciliation, where we are restored. And not only that, but it continues. Look at this. When two friends have a problem, two friends get crossed up, they break, things get crossed up. I don't know any other way to put it. They're ruptured. Friendship's broken. And one of them decides to put down what they hold against the other person. It makes a step, and the other person responds, and they put down what is offended in them. And they shake hands, and they agree to let the hostilities be over. But that's not enough. They're friends. They both lost something. They both want more. What do they want? They want friendship. And so they begin working on that reconciliation. But as they're working on it, both of them think, man, I don't want to mess this up. And man, I hope I can trust that person not to mess this up. And so they move through the first phases of restoring that friendship with fear and trembling. I want to tell you something, friend. We do not have that kind of relationship with God. We do not have to walk through our relationship with God in fear and trembling as if there is something we can do that is now going to interrupt or disrupt our relationship to God. And you know why? It is because what Jesus did on the cross was complete. It covered it all. Right now, sin that's not even on my mind is already known by God to have been committed by me. In other words, God sees the sin in my life yet to come. It's gonna surprise me when it comes, sort of. Like, I can't believe I did that. I know, I thought about it, I still did it. I can't believe I did that. I shouldn't have done that. God, I knew better, and I did it anyway. And God's not going to say this to me, but He said it on the cross. He said, I knew you were going to do it. And I've already paid for it. And I've already justified you. And I've already reconciled you. I'm glad you admitted it. Let's move on. That, my friend, is His reconciliation of us. And I want to tell you something. That's not all. I'm going to have to skip to the third point, because it's in verse 11, and I just don't want to miss it. It says more than that again. He said it over and over and over. More than that. We also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look at your neighbor. Just serious. Go ahead and look at him right now. I'm going to tell you what to do. Look at him. Look at him. Put a big smile on your face. Come on, put a big smile on. Just smile. Come on. Rudy, look at her. Look at her. There you go. I like that. Put a big smile on your face. They'll think you're smiling because of them. You're not. You're smiling because you know about your relationship with God. It's settled. It's all right. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He says that in chapter 8. But I want you to know something. Because of reconciliation, you should walk around with a smile on your face all the time. Not because you're happy, because you may not be. Happiness results from circumstances. Sometimes those circumstances are negative. But Paul's already said, even in bad circumstances, we do what? We rejoice. And you know why we can rejoice? Because of this. We've been reconciled to God. I don't know what you're dealing with. I didn't come by today to talk to you about your life situation. I came by to talk to you about God's situation. Here's what God has done for you. And what God has done for you is so much bigger and so much better than your life situation. In fact, it casts a shadow on all of the trouble of your life. It puts it out of the light, and it puts Him in the light. And as long as you are walking in that light, the revelation of what God has done for you, you name a situation that can cause you to not have joy. Name it. I'm dying. One of these days, the doctor's going to tell me that, if it doesn't happen by a coroner who said, oh, you're already dead. One of these days, it's going to happen to me. And I'm going to be faced with what every one of us is going to be faced with, and that's the end of life. All we've done throughout our life is try to prolong, keep it up, keep going. One of these days, I'm going to be told it isn't going to keep going. Got news for you. I already know that. I already know I'm dying. That's part of the news that makes me so excited. I'm dying because I'm a sinner, ladies and gentlemen. I'm dying because I violated God's law. You're dying for the same reason. Sin casts that pall on the whole world. We're dying because of sin. But guess what? Because of justification, I'm not going to die in my sin. I'm not. Jesus Christ has already done that for me. He died in my sin. All my sin was put upon Him, and He died because and for my sin. And what did I get out of it? I got the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've got news for you. When you come along or the doctor comes along and tells me I'm dying, I'm going to say, that's where the story gets good. That's where the story gets good. Because in Christ Jesus, I, who am condemned by sin, have been justified. I've been made right with God. I am no longer condemned. I may be dying in the flesh, but I'm living in the Spirit. And I always will. But it's more than that, folks. It's so much more than that. I have been restored to the relationship God intended to have with His creation. A relationship as His heirs, as His children. Do you understand that, folks? We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We have a standing with God the Father in the same sense, in the same way that God the Son has a relationship with God the Father. In that sense, we have been made brothers and sisters with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to tell you something. Nothing you can tell me can take the smile off my face are off my heart because I have been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together.